Did Israel's satanic strike succeed in slaying peace? By Paul Angel. Either you want peace or you don't. If you do, you don't blow the dove of peace out of the sky with a cruise missile when it comes flapping your way. Thus, it is now obvious to all rational people that neither Israel nor the Trump administration really desires peace in the Middle East. What they really covet is not peace, but a piece of seaside real estate for future development, devoid of its ancestral inhabitants, not a safe haven for the people who have been living there for millennia. Case in point, on September 9, Israeli fighter jets brazenly violated Qatari airspace and launched at least 10 precision-guided missiles into a residential building in the ritzy West Bay Lagoon district of Doha. There, members of a Hamas ceasefire negotiations team were gathering, ostensibly in good faith, to discuss a plan to end the mass slaughter in Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Defense Minister Israel Katz said in a joint statement that the strike on Hamas officials on Qatari soil was in retaliation for a recent terror attack in Jerusalem and another on Israeli forces in Gaza, allegedly carried out by Hamas members. President Donald Trump quickly denied any U.S. involvement in the dastardly attack on peace negotiators meeting under an implied flag of truce. Trump insisted that, by the time he found out, it was too late to stop the attack. He then voiced his displeasure with Netanyahu over the treacherous Israeli actions, telling reporters, "I'm very unhappy. I'm not thrilled about the whole situation. I was very unhappy about it, very unhappy about every aspect, and we got to get the hostages back, but I was very unhappy about the way that went down. I find that hard to believe." If he were truly unhappy with the Israeli attack on peace negotiators, he would have recalled the U.S. ambassador to Israel and cut off all future aid and arms shipments. Independent journalist Ryan Grimm finds Trump's story hard to swallow, too. He believes the Trump administration set up Hamas negotiators with an offer to discuss peace, just as it did during nuclear negotiations with Iran last June, to provide cover for a surprise Israeli attack. That strike killed peace-seeking Iranian officials, along with their families, who were in their bed sleeping when assassinated. According to Grimm, Trump sent a peace deal to Hamas. Hamas met to discuss it in Doha, Qatar, where the United States is mediating talks and has a base, and Israel bombed them, presumably with U.S. support. The strike in Doha was aimed at Hamas negotiators who were gathered to discuss Trump's ceasefire offer, according to a Hamas official speaking on Al Jazeera, much as Trump carried out fake nuclear talks with Iran in order to kill Iranian negotiators. The whole point was to gather people together to discuss the peace offer and then kill them. If that is true, and the United States was involved in luring foreign officials to a site just to assassinate them, then our nation has participated in one of the most duplicitous acts of war known to man. A nation simply does not massacre a delegation sent from a foe that wants to discuss peace. Should a nation betray this ages-old rule of warfare, and it appears the United States has now done this twice, how could anyone really trust the word of that nation ever again? Popular right-wing commentator Nick Fuentes went further. Writing on social media site X, Fuentes said, "This morning, Israel attempted to assassinate the entire political bureau of Hamas in Doha, Qatar. They did so with assistance from the Trump administration, which allegedly lured the Hamas delegation into the building targeted by Israel. Trump is just an Israeli operative." Is Trump an Israeli operative? That is a bold accusation, but it opens up another can of slime. Does Israel's Mossad have incriminating evidence that is forcing Trump to support whatever despicable and deplorable acts the Israelis commit? And this brings us back to Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, two of the worst blackmailing child rapists of the modern era, if court records and news reports can be trusted. While the president continues to insist, inexplicably, that the Epstein affair is just a Democrat hoax, members of his own Department of Justice DOJ don't agree, implying that there is a cover-up coming from the highest levels of the administration. How do we know this? Recently, a top DOJ official was caught up in a sting by independent journalist James O'Keefe of Project Veritas fame. Joseph Schnitt, acting deputy chief at the Office of Enforcement Operations at the DOJ, went on a phony date with one of O'Keefe's female colleagues. Schnitt's fake date had been set up on a singles website. Schnitt was then filmed surreptitiously by the reporter, who pulled a lot of information out of the talkative Schnitt, who was obviously trying to impress the attractive young woman. In the video, Schnitt admits, DOJ will redact every Republican or conservative person in those Epstein files, leave all the liberal, Democratic people in those files, and have a very slanted version of it come out, without really seeing any of their bad behavior. He also admitted that transferring Epstein's co-criminal Maxwell to a minimum security prison blatantly smacked of a deal to make sure Maxwell keeps her mouth shut. I am not sure the Mossad has incriminating evidence of misdeeds by the president or his friends, but I do know that his fanatical, unwavering support for Israel, even when it massacres 60,000 people and then tries to exterminate members of a peace delegation, is a new low for America. And it's hard to stomach the fact our tax dollars help to pay for it all. Paul Angel is AFP's managing editor. He can be reached at angel@americanfreepress.net.